Welcome to the Crash Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Mark Andrews.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. What a stud. Amen. What a stud, man, this guy. God begins creating. I want you to just go in your mind and think about how incredible creation is. Have you ever seen those NASA pictures of the universe, and it's just spreading out the millions and trillions and beyond, stars and galaxies, suns and planets, all through the universe. And then beyond that, he creates us. He creates the earth, and he begins to create animals. What's your favorite animal? Let me hear it. Multiple giraffes at the same time. Wow. Someone said a rhino, and that person's going to heaven. So just in case you're wondering. He begins to make unbelievable animals, huge, small, microscopic things like ants and bugs and worms, and huge things like elephants and gray whales. And he makes us. Look at that person next to you. That's right. He even made them. He made us all. And get this, he made us with his word, with his palabra, with his mouth. He speaks, and word creates the universe. That's powerful. That's crazy power. And with his word, this amazing God begins to speak and create, because when God speaks, it's not just an idle conversation. When God speaks, his words don't come out and hit the ground. His words are life-giving. They have creative force and power behind them. And when God utters something, it is created and brought into being. God is the creator, and he does it through the power of words, because God is love. Someone say, God is love. God is love, and love does. Love is about action, and God's words are these action words that when he utters them, something happens. He makes human beings, which I'm glad for. That was nice of him. We're here. And he does something cool. If you go read in Genesis, he calls Adam, this one he just made, and he brings before Adam the animals. He brings him the animals, and he says, I want to see what he's going to call them. I want you to name the animals. And Adam begins to call things by their name, and hippopotamus and cat. I don't know why God created cat. Sorry, cat people. Is that it? And then he created dogs. Any dog people in the house? Dog. There we go. Just kidding. No, chihuahuas don't count. Just kidding. That's half the, sorry, that's everybody's dog. God begins create, and he watch this. He pulls Adam into the creative process. And he says, Adam, I want you to name that thing. Now, the Jewish commentators, the rabbis say that it was more than just a title that he was giving them. He was giving them their characteristics. He was identifying the God quality in them, and he was speaking what he saw. And God said, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's totally an elephant. Great call. And Adam begins to name the animals through his words. Somebody say words. Words. You and I are made in the image of God. It's hard to see it sometimes. It's hard to see it in ourselves sometimes. It's hard to see it in those around us sometimes. But we're made in the image of God. And that means, among other things, that when we speak from a place of love, creative, life-giving power is released. Amen. When we speak from a place of love, why? We're made in the image of our God. Somebody say yes. We're made in his image. And when we speak, there is power in our words. Now, how many have ever told somebody those three little words that contain so much weight and so much power, and you look at them and you're like, pass the salsa. No, that's not it. It's, I love you. Anyone? Anyone? Who's ever exchanged those words and you meant it? You meant it. Yeah. He just got married right here. I love it. He just exchanged those words and vows. And then he came to church and ate some gum that other people had chewed. Wow. I remember the first time that I told Letitia I love her. I remember. And it took a long time. We had dated a while, and I wasn't just going to say it like the first, hi, I'm Mark, I love you, right? I wasn't going to do that. I wanted it to have meaning. I wanted it to have purpose. I didn't want those words to be lightly thrown out there. I wanted to mean it, and I wanted to end up with that person that I was going to say, I love you. And so I remember the day. It was like an out-of-body experience. Guys, have you ever experienced this? It's like you're watching yourself. You're like, do it! And and built up, yeah, I wanted to, but you still kind of have to work up and your mouth gets numb. And I said, I love you. And just, I just like went numb. I like just warmth. It entered my body. It was amazing. And with those simple little words, it drew us closer. Later on, I uttered some more words and I said, will you marry me? I mean, I said some cool words before that. That wasn't the whole proposal. It was very good. Whatever. I said, will you marry me? And with you know, just a few words there, it brought us together, and now we're doing something. It had the power to create something that was incredible. It had the power to start something that we work on now. But listen, we're made in the image of God, and when you speak out of love, you're acting like God. That's good. We want to act like God, amen? When we speak out of love, powerful things begin to happen. Now, the Bible is filled with this idea. Anybody like the Bible? You're a Bible fan? Some of you are not. We'll pray for you later in the altar. Jesus, rebuke them. No, we're not going to do that. Listen. The Bible's filled with this idea that words contain incredible power, incredible power. In Proverbs, the wisest man, the Bible says, to live outside of Jesus was named Solomon. And this guy said, I love you a lot. He had lots of wives and things. But one of the really smart things he said was this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. Just stick your tongue out at somebody nearby you. Just stick it out right at them. Just stick it out. Just look at them. Just stick your tongue out right at them. Somebody say death. Everybody say death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words, what is that talking about? It's talking about our words. Why? Because we're made in His image. We're made in the image of the God who is love, and His words create and bring to life. And He says this, listen, when you speak, there's power in them. And there can be death and there can be life found in your words. So we've been asking ourselves questions during this series and saying, like, who are we and what was I made for? And I think another one to start asking is, what am I saying? Take a look at my words, because we just kind of speak and maybe don't pay that much attention. But listen, are our words filled with hate or hope? Do we find our words filled with bitterness or with blessing? Do we find the things coming out of our mouth complaining or complimenting? Right? Do we find things coming out of our mouth that are lust or love? Are we speaking defeat or are we speaking victory? There's so much power in our words. Death or life, really? Yeah, it depends on the source. And the source of your words is where? Where do you think? Take a guess. Mi corazón? Yeah, we'll go with that. Yes. In our hearts. Our words reflect our hearts. Our words reflect, they're a reflection of what's going on in here. The Bible says this in Matthew. Jesus was talking. And He said, for out of the abundance, or the overflow, the spilling out, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Someone say speaks. Out of the abundance, out of the overflow of the heart, that's where your words are coming from. And this is why understanding what we've been trying to hit this series, this is why understanding who we are in Jesus makes such a big difference. It makes such a huge difference. It makes a massive difference. Why? Because when I'm found in Jesus, when I look to Jesus, I find that I am loved. You're loved by Jesus. You're loved by the creator of the universe. You're loved. I haven't done anything special. I haven't done a whole lot of things. But listen, I'm loved. I am loved. I'm loved by God, by majesty. Listen, knowing that I am loved, knowing that I'm accepted, what does that do? It allows love to come in and it kicks fear out. Love evicts fear. That's good to know. Fear seems so big. Fear, that's what fear has going for it. It's like shadow puppets, right? It's really this big, but it tries to look massive and scary, and so we hide from it. Love is so much bigger and so much stronger. It's not even a contest. When love shows up, it kicks fear out the door. Love is powerful. And it dominates. And that's why, listen, we've got to receive the love of Jesus into our lives. Yes. Whatever your past, whatever your issues, listen, the beautiful thing is, He loved me so much that He's forgiven me, so I don't have to be afraid of my past. His love has kicked my past out of my life. The shame, all the junk, all the mistakes, everything. His love has evicted that stuff. That's how powerful his love is. Listen, I don't have to walk around in fear of rejection. Many of us struggle with that. It hurts to be rejected. It hurts to love. We're talking about go out and just love somebody and then you get rejected. Tried to get balloons out. I told y'all the other week and people were like, no, I hate balloons. Wow, you need a hug. Come here. I don't have to walk around afraid and struggling with rejection. Why? Because he said I'm accepted. The God of the universe, the most important voice in my life possible, says you're accepted. I accept you. Not because of the stuff you've done, but because I'm so crazy, madly, ridiculously in love with you. And God kicks out the fear of rejection. He kicks out the fear of my past. He says, listen, I've got you. I'm your source. I'm your supply. I'm your heavenly Father. So you're free to risk. You're free to live big. You're free to expand your love and to go for it. We've been trying to just nudge and push you this month to start thinking beyond yourself and maybe the immediate people around you and loving people, just letting love kind of start to pour out of your life. And one of the amazing ways that you can begin doing that tonight is through the power of your words. Amen. Your words are a reflection of your heart. Is it negativity coming out? Let's be honest. Sometimes. Any negative people? Sometimes. We're not saying you're a negative person, but sometimes you struggle with that. That's me. Anybody speaking fear, anxiety? Anybody? We hear this thing. Frustration comes out. That should be everyone that owns a car and drives in traffic. Listen, God wants to fill you with so much love. Not that you never struggle. Not that people aren't annoying. Not that situation. Listen, he wants to fill you with so much love that it just starts to over, it just leaks out of you. It's just flowing out of you and it comes out of your mouth. And the things you're saying are powerful. They're life-giving. They're not speaking death. They're not speaking negativity. They're speaking life. Why? Because that's when you're like God. God wants you to be just like him. Listen, we've got to love big. Someone say love big. Why? Because you were designed, we talked about last week, you were designed with a calling. And Paul said last week, he said, live worthy, live a life big enough for the incredible calling that God has placed on your life. Every person in the room has been called by God. And God says, I want you to live big. I want you to go big. Don't live small and safe. The kingdom life is going for it and it's big. If we can get that in here, if we let that love flow in here, it will come out here. Somebody said amen. Here's a couple of things we can try. We can start speaking life-giving words. Someone say life-giving. Speak life-giving words. Let's put love into action. Let's not just let it be a good thought or an idea, but let's begin speaking like our Heavenly Father speaks and see something happen. The first one is to ourselves. How many know you have a soundtrack that plays in your head? Some of it's good. You like those jams. You hit those on repeat. And some of the stuff that goes in our head is negative. We don't like them, but it's still there. Can I get a witness? And there's a soundtrack that plays. Now, here's the thing. We've got to start understanding that everything that we're not, he is. Everywhere that I'm weak and I struggle, he's strong. Everywhere that I lack and I don't have enough, he's got abundance. He's incredible. We've got to start getting that going and mixing that into our soundtrack. Why? We've got to start speaking words the way God speaks. You want to know how God speaks? God speaks craziness. I love this. God speaks, the Bible says, to things that are not as though they already were. Think about that. God speaks to stuff that isn't as if it already is. We need to start doing that with ourselves. Why? Because love takes action and you've got to start speaking those words of love even to yourself. Even to yourself. Not out loud necessarily, like walking around like, you are doing awesome, Mark. High five me. Cool. Like, don't be a weirdo and get arrested somewhere. Listen, that soundtrack in your mind, that thing that plays over and over and over again, we need to start speaking to things that are not. Everything that we're not, can you think of a few things that you're not? That like maybe your life is not, or your finances are not, or relationship is not, or all the ways that personally I'm just not, okay? And we need to start speaking those things as though they already were. Why? Because that's how God speaks. I want to speak like God. I want to talk like him. I want to speak that creative, life-giving word even over myself. David in the Bible says, I encourage myself in the Lord. I speak those things over myself. Sometimes people under, and I begin speaking those things. What do I speak? Listen, I am a conqueror. I am chosen. I am anointed. I am called. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I'm not my mistakes. I am forgiven by him. I am loved by majesty. I am called for a purpose. I can lead. I can overcome. I can do this thing. Is this too basic? Are we jumping over this or no? I feel like this will absolutely help somebody tonight. Listen, start monitoring the stuff coming out of your mouth. Monitor, it just flows out. It's so natural. Why? Because it's connected to here. It's a flow, it's a spring, it's a stream, and it just flows out. Start paying attention to what's coming out of your mouth. And if you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, work on this with him. Jesus, I want you to just baptize me in your love. I want you to fill my heart with so much of your love. Start letting me see myself the way you see me. I'm not forgotten, I'm chosen. I'm not overlooked, I am your prized one. I am beloved by God. Someone said amen. Number two, we need to speak words over ourselves, life-giving power words, and we also need to start doing that for others. You know, your words can launch somebody. Your words can launch somebody towards their destiny and purpose. Does anybody remember, maybe you had a teacher or a parent, aunt, uncle way back in the day, and they said like that thing to you, that one nice, and you've like locked that in, and it was years ago, second grade, and you're like, I remember, second grade teacher, she said I was gonna be a great artist, and I just kept painting. Anyone have that experience? Anyone ever speak anything to your life? There's something so incredibly powerful, and I feel like as followers of God, people made in his image, we're called to begin speaking those things to other people. Somebody said amen. It can launch, it can nudge, it can push somebody toward their destiny. Jesus did this all the time. Jesus would speak to things that were not, and he would nudge them towards their destiny. He would talk to this guy named Simon, who was a fisherman. And Simon was just, you know, kind of uneducated, rough around the edges, kind of a roughneck, just a, you know, crazy guy. He got in, you know, heated one time, pulled out a sword in a moment of anger, cut a dude's ear off. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's crazy. Jesus healed the guy's ear. But this is who he was, rough around the edges. And Jesus looks at him and says, no, I'm changing your name to Peter. Simon means a reed. It means grass. It's blown around. But Peter is a rock. You with me? That's what Peter means. It's a rock. You're the foundation. He said, I'm going to build this whole church on your back, man. You're the rock. How many would like Jesus to call you the rock? What a great nickname. The rock. Why? Because Jesus is speaking. Was Peter the rock in that moment? It's like a pebble, right? He was moved. But Jesus is nudging him in that direction and saying, listen, there's destiny and purpose. You're called to live bigger. Don't live safe. It would have been safe to stay in the boat and be a fisherman and hang out with dad. I'm calling you to go big. I'm calling you to expand your life and to live out loud. And it's Peter who stands up after the Holy Ghost has fallen and he preaches the message and 3,000 people turn and come to God in a day because he was the rock. God launched him. Jesus began launching him. Look at Ephesians 4, says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. He said, don't let anything unwholesome. The word unwholesome is a picture of rotting fruit. It's a picture of rotting fruit. It's decaying. It's death. He says, listen, don't speak words of death. How could we do that? Because if we speak negatively, if we speak things that are not true, not what God is saying, it can kill dreams. How many of you ever had a dream? You had something in your heart, you like believe something, and then somebody like told you the truth and just shattered it. Maybe you believed in certain things. There's kids in here, so I don't want to ruin anything. You believed in certain myths and things, and somebody's like, that's not even real. And you're like, oh! And your world just shattered into pieces. Listen, your words have the power to build up, the Bible says, or to tear down. Your words have the ability of death and life. And when you speak, you need to watch what's coming out of your mouth because you're either speaking from a place of love or you're speaking from a place of fear. And when we do those things, we're either speaking life or death. He says, speak life. Speak life, speak the good things, but only what is helpful for building people up. Launch them towards their purpose. If you see something in somebody, speak it. I like what Letitia says. She says, don't hold goodness in. If you see something good about somebody, if they're great at serving, if they're honest, if they're a good listener, whatever they listen, just begin to speak it. And you don't know what God can do. When you just begin speaking the smallest thing, God can take it and launch people with it. Why? There's creative power in my words. I'm made in his image. We've got to start thinking about speaking life to other people. Bob Goff said it this way from the book of Love Does. I hope you can read that sometime this month if you can find that online. Words can launch us. God made it so that ordinary people like you and me can launch each other. I believe it's true that the right people can say words that can change everything. And guess what? We're the ones who can say them. Somebody say, that's good. Listen, there's something powerful. There's something really, really powerful about a word spoken from love. It's a simple thing, it seems like, but it's a step everyone in the room can begin taking. We went out and we tried to help projects and tried to do things and we keep getting rained on every second. I told somebody we're just gonna start building arcs everywhere we go, just boats, and donate that to people. Listen, but we're out there doing that. We're trying to do that individually. You can do that on an easy, everyday kind of basis through your words. You can launch people. You can speak. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to answer this question. We'll close it down here. I want you to answer this question. I don't want you to think about it. I just want you to do it. I want you to just respond. And I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then you respond. I want you to point north. 1, 2, 3, do it. Point north. Okay, I'm looking. Hold it there. Hold it there. Now look around. See, point north. All right, hands down. North, according to my trusty compass, is that way. Who said that way? Oh yeah, all of us said that way. I saw people pointing up. It's that way, right? On a map, north, south, east, west. Saw people pointing at me that way at the ground. Listen, it's easy to get disoriented. Somebody said, yeah. It's easy to get turned around. And when we're doing this life stuff, man, it's easy to get turned around. Now, not for my wife, unfortunately. You know, as a guy, you're supposed to like know certain things and like know how to barbecue and know like how to pick up the dog poo, which is the worst, and take the trash out. But you're also supposed to know directions. I don't know where that's written somewhere in guide code, but you are. And I'll admit that occasionally I struggle with geographical awareness. Is that a good way to say it? Occasionally I get disoriented. I mean, obviously if I'm following it, you know, on the phone or I see a map or I see it drawn, I'm a little bit better, but it doesn't help that my wife, like anytime, knows exactly where everything is. It's really crazy. We can be in, you know, the sub-basement of some building, no windows. We've taken 16 turns inside the hallway and somebody's like, yeah, the highway. And she's like, yeah, right there. And she knows where it's at. And I'm like, over here, oh, there. She just knows and always kind of knows and makes me feel good about myself. But she just has this built-in innate sense, like where it's at. Now, here's the thing. For those of you that are like me and you get a little bit disoriented, listen, this is what fear does. Fear disorients you. Fear disorients you. It pushes you off the path that leads to life to the full that Jesus promises. It gets you lost. It gets you turned around. It disconnects you from who you are and what you were made for. That's what fear does. It tries to shut you down and get you lost. I'll just tell real briefly on our kids, amazing kids, Pastor Dina, who's over there with the kids right now. She's awesome. But she would get so turned around and freaked out, and maybe she's getting better. Maybe. We'll just say she is. But so this used to be a problem. She would get so freaked out, she wouldn't go to certain parts of town or like go to new places because she didn't know how to get there. Or she would be here, like she went and like got her, you know, hair done or something, and then her house is here, but she didn't know how to go from here to there, so she drove to the church, and then from the church she knew how to get home, and then she'd drive to the church because she was terrified of getting lost. She'd pull over on the side of the road and like make somebody come pick her up. Are these true stories, Mom, over there? Yeah, Jeannie's got it right there. Listen, that's exactly what fear will do in your life. Fear will shut you down and keep you from where God's pointing you to go. It disorients you. North is where? Like God's wants me to do what? We get so twisted and shut down and locked down through fear. But love sets us free. Listen, fear will get you bumping through life. You ever felt that way? What am I doing with my life? My God, I'm just kind of here. I'm just kind of making a paycheck. I'm just breathing and eating and doing the same thing the next day. What am I doing here? But love wants to get you in that direction. Anybody love GPS? You love GPS. Anyone? How many use an iPhone? You use like Siri or something to help you, or the map on here? How many print maps or look at paper maps? Any paper map people? All right, right there. I love the Siri on here and my deal. And what's so great about the GPS in the phone is when I put anything in, it just talks me all the way there. It just gets me there. In fact, my phone, let's see if I can do it. Siri, what is my name?
Dear Mark, but since we are friends, I get to call you Mr. President.
It's true. I don't know if you heard that. He gets to call me Mr. President because it's his privilege and honor to serve. See, it's the power of words in your life that can make such a difference. Just feeling bad about yourself and you're like, Siri, talk to me. Yes, Mr. President, what would you like to talk about? Dear diary. But the beautiful thing is this, listen, real love speaks to you. Real love guides you. Real love gets you to the destination. And guess what? You're called to be that for somebody. There are people that God has strategically placed in your life, and you're going to receive his love and begin speaking that over yourself. But there are people that you know, that you see, that you just maybe walk by or you see them all the time. Listen, they're waiting on a nudge from you to get them rolling toward their destiny. God has called them. There's purpose. There's ministry. Their name is Rock. Their name is Peter. And they're just waiting for that nudge to let them know which way to go. And God said, listen, I'm going to give that assignment to you. I'm gonna give it to my people. Why? They're made in my image. And they walk with me and they've got my spirit. And when they speak, it can spark creativity. If you see something in someone else, begin to speak it. If you don't see it in them and you feel like God wants to do it, begin to speak it. Because God speaks a thing that he can't even see yet. You are gonna turn to God, right? Like God is gonna do something with your life. You are powerful. You can do that thing. I believe, just go for it, man. You wanna start that, do it, man. We've got to begin pouring that in. We want to build a community here that speaks life, life-giving speak. And that's not some, oh, that's a nice thought. That's a nice idea. It's power behind it. The word says it's power when you speak from love.
For more information and other resources, check out thecrash.tv.